You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny.
We are going back to the old school. We are going to just listen to me burn. I had 7 shows in Atlanta 2 weeks ago, and there was 5 were awesome, 1 was pretty good, and 1 I entered the abyss. And it doesn't happen to me very often, because when there's a good amount of people and they're out for a good time, it's pretty tough for me to enter the twilight zone that originally spawned the concept of this podcast. But yeah, I got there this time, and I got to review, as I re-listened to it, I kind of love it. I kind of love being so beaten down emotionally on stage that I feel free, because there's nothing more to lose. And it was a light crowd. They do shows at 6 p.m. at this club I was at, 6, 8, 10. And so this one was actually, I can't remember which show this was, but it was a light crowd, and it was a crowd that I don't think, I'm not going to make any judgments. We'll just go through this together. The name of this episode is Savage, because I've seen that on Twitter a lot lately. Like I'll write something and someone will be like, Savage, shots fired. And I'm like, what does Savage mean? And it's a word that's existed for a long time, but the new modern definition is kind of like, when online you say something intense, someone goes, oh, you're so savage. And there's nothing more savage than being a comedian. I think this episode will help people understand why certain professions are, they make people savage. Military, porn, stand-up comedy, some sports, high-level bankers maybe. I don't know. But there's jobs where you're so consistently in this realm of chaos that you really, really get to know human nature, and you get to see. I don't think it's bad or good. I just think it's primal. Like when I see people at their most vulnerable, and me at my most vulnerable, there's a lot of warmth, and there's also a lot of violence. It's not good or bad. It just is. And I think I have a good grasp on it. And this, okay, I'll play you just a couple clips of me trying to hang on to the concept of me being a normal comedian, and this is a normal show, and everything's going fine. This is me trying to do a little crowd work when I realized that, just the normal jokes aren't really getting them. So where is this clip? Where is this? All right, here we go.
No, you're cool. You want to do a shot? Let's become friends. What do you want a shot of?
Buy me a drink.
I will. I'm buying you a drink right now. What do you want?
Hey,
bro, I'm not joking. Just tell me what you want.
Vodka.
Vodka? Are you from Russia?
What? But I want vodka.
Are you doing a fake accent? I can't buy anyone a drink without it becoming a fucking nightmare. Cheers. Love you, buddy. What's your? Are you from Ireland?
Nope.
Scotland?
No.
Wales?
Nope.
Ireland? Just tell me where you're from, man. Please, this is basic comedy shit.
Ireland?
Atlanta.
Okay, so that's me. I'm trying to just get a guy a drink because he's not smiling and he looks really threatening and he's just messing with me, like doing a fake accent. It turns out it wasn't a fake accent, but he refused to tell me where he's from. There's an ongoing theme with him. He had a beautiful wife, so they're in the front. So here is, I find out they're actually Puerto Rican. So again, I'm trying to buy them drinks and make him happy, but he's...
We sound stupid. I'm having a hard time. I can roll though. Burrito, por favor. I mean, Spanish people are better looking than everybody. It's just a fact. It's because they talk like they're licking pussy. Like they're always turning each other on. Like you can be at El Pollo Loco and it's like, everyone's like, like that's how they are all the time. That's why they have good skin and shit. Like that dude's a little overweight, but he's still very handsome. Like he makes that shit look good. I'm dead serious. Like he's a handsome fucker. Like I look at that guy, I'm like, that guy fucks good. If that guy was white, I'd be like, bro, hit LA Fitness a little bit. Fuck him, run it out. But that dude's looking at me where he's like, I'll fuck your whole family, bro. I roll my tongue all day long. All right, we'll play guys a little music.
Yeah, so I'm giving him jabs. But I'm complimenting him. I'm getting it flowing. And I would have some good moments. That's the thing about this show is they would give me moments and then they would take it away. But that's the thing about me is when you take it away, I'm like, fine. I pulled up a parable that I wanted to read. I know this is corny. It's corny as shit, but I like parables sometimes. This is called We'll See. And my brother told me this once when I was really depressed. And he said, once upon a time, there was a farmer in the central region of China. I don't know why they're making it so racial, but okay. He didn't have a lot of money, and instead of a tractor, he used an old horse to plow his field. One afternoon, while working in the field, the horse dropped dead. Everyone in the village said, oh, what a horrible thing to happen. The farmer simply said, we'll see. He was so at peace and so calm that everyone in the village got together, and admitting his attitude gave him a new horse as a gift. Everyone's reaction now was, what a lucky man. And the farmer said, we'll see. A couple days later, the new horse jumped a fence and ran away. Everyone shook their heads and said, what a poor fellow. He said, we'll see. Eventually, the horse was found. Everyone again said, what a fortunate man. He said, we'll see. Later in the year, the farmer's young boy went out riding on the horse and fell and broke his leg. Everyone said, what a shame for your poor boy. The farmer said, we'll see. 2 days later, the army came into the village to draft new recruits. When they saw the farmer's son with a broken leg, they decided not to recruit him. What a fortunate young man. The farmer smiled. We'll see. More of the story, obviously, is the events and circumstances that shape our everyday lives. What may appear as a setback isn't always a setback. Like how bad this crowd was actually made them amazing because they let me just truly be myself and roll and go down roads that I didn't get laughs, but it's fine. Like this right here. Listen to this spiral. I would never do this if the crowd was if it was working.
During 50 Shades.
50 Shades of Grey? More like 50 Shades of Gay. I'm just trying to make comics up at this point. I didn't watch 50 Shades of Grey. I respect it, though, because I watch porn myself, so I'm not judgmental. Some people are like, women are... I'm like, dude, it's fine. This is fantasy shit. You know? Because in real life, it would be terrifying. There's a lot of rape in that movie. You know, he's like, I know you need it. Get on the bed, virgin. I'm going to tie you up and pound on you. And women are like, what's next? But in reality, that's a felony, and you don't ever want to do that. That's awful to do to a woman. That traumatizes her. But it's the same with male porn. Like, we have fucked up shit, you know, that in reality would be awful. Like, the first porno I ever saw when I was maybe 10 years old was a pizza guy got a double blowjob. He came in with a pizza. I thought it was Robocop. It said Robocop. Wasn't Robocop. And I was, so confused on so many levels. But so the pizza's like, hey, I'm the pizza guy. And this girl's like, but we don't have any money. And the guy's like, no way. And then her friend is like, hey, thanks for letting me use your shower. What's up? And everyone's like, eh. And then they just start, he starts getting blown. And like, he's holding the pizza for like way too long. And then I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then I actually became a pizza guy in college. And it all fell apart for me because here's the thing about pizza guys. It's not a good job. It pays very well. Desperate people are pizza guys. I was desperate. I was poor and I was trying to pay for my education. So I became a pizza man. Not a pizza boy. A pizza man. So when I went to that door, I needed money. Not blowjobs. Money. I don't want someone to not have money. I need money or else I wouldn't be a goddamn servant. Like a pizza boy. When your job title ends in boy, You need money. So, but hear me out though. Let's go through the whole process. So you knock on the door, you're like, hey, I'm the pizza guy. It's like, well, we don't have any money. At first you're like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to declare bankruptcy. But it's like, we're both gonna blow you. And you're a man, so you're like, you just can't turn that down out of principle. So you're like, okay, you don't have to pay me, and you two are both gonna blow me. It's a deal. But this is the problem with double blowjobs. There's always a weak link. A lot of people haven't had enough to know the downfall of the double blowjob. One isn't good at blowjobs. Like, one girl's killing it, and one girl's always like, I'm gonna escalate it, like, because they're competing now. There's a competition happening. So one's just doing a good job, and the other one's like, well, I have to be better than Deborah, so I'm gonna, like, bite it. I'm dead serious. This is how double blowjobs escalate. And you're like, oh, this one's really good, but this chick's trying to reinvent shit. And I'm just like, that's different, right? And then one's like, just a tip. You're like, no, it's not a clit. There's barely any feeling until the end. Like, please, just leave it with this one. So, but if you say that, then that one has a bad self-esteem problem. And women work together. So if you're like, no, let's just keep it on this side. It's like, yeah, and then they're both fucking crying. So don't say that. So now you have to grit your teeth and be like, oh, this is great. And your dick is barely hard because you're in pain. And you have more pizzas. You don't go out with one pizza. You have 12 more in your car. And every second that ticks by, they get colder and colder and colder. And you know you're now going to be fired for the worst blowjob you've ever had. You know? And then you finally come, and it's a sad come because your dick is barely hard. It's bleeding, you know? But they think you're great. And then you go back to your car, you go back to Pizza Hut, and you're fired. And now you can't go to college anymore. That's not a fantasy. That's a fucking nightmare. This is terrible. I don't know why I'm doing this right now. How long do I have to be up here? What's the minimum amount? 45 minutes? Last show I did an hour 15. It was packed, great room, a blast. Like, I was, you know, like, really, I didn't want it to end. This one, I might just start reading, like, books to you, because I'm a professional. But I also don't want to inflict brilliance on you when you aren't ready for it. All right, I'll do other jokes, other styles. Because the cool thing about the small crowd is you got that intimacy where I can, like, go off the rails and shit, but not you guys. You're like, we like Wonder Bread. That makes me so happy that you guys are laughing. You gotta see this piece of shit right here. He just stares at me. He just goes.
The reason I don't think that laugh, that got a laugh, I think that will work because I've toyed around with that concept before. It has to be a crowd that has life experience. Maybe, like, I just think that when you're dealing with 15 people, the odds that anyone's had a double blowjob is pretty low, or even are capable of the concept of empathy, where, like, I don't know. That joke is really funny if you put yourself in the situation and you don't immediately just have all your insecurities flare, which is what I started realizing what was happening. That the dude in the front row was trying to really, really be dominant. And I was encouraging him and trying to make him feel good. Like, which is this clip? Oh, this is me just telling the crowd that they, all right, so I'm doing this joke. It's Beethoven's Fifth. Listen to this.
My blinker's on. Please let me merge. My lane ends at 500 feet. Oh, it'll be fine. He doesn't budge, but that's okay. I still have time. 300 feet, just let me fit. 100 feet, you piece of shit. Now I am mad. I start to go. I hope you know I'm no go. I'm fucking hammered. I start to go. I hope you know I'm a little go. I will not stop. My window's down, my fingers off. I start to sweat. I see no cops. All above your car. Can't clap for that, it's so fucking awful. Like, no, Beethoven's Fifth? Not enough. No, I own a home in the suburbs. I like black music.
I'm just calling them out for their shit, and they like it, actually. It's actually some of the only things that are getting laughs. What do we got here? Okay, so here's more with the Puerto Rican couple.
Can I do another shot? You like tequila, now that I know the backstory? You like tequila?
No.
You're a Hispanic person, doesn't like tequila?
No, rum.
Fuck rum.
No.
I don't want to blow my brains out tomorrow, so I'm not going to drink rum. Dude, dark liquor is bad for the brain. You want rum?
Hispanic rum?
Mexican
tequila.
Yeah. How is rum?
Rum. Yes.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah.
Rum. Keep it up. You want to get involved? Want to get involved?
She does.
She does. Yeah.
She does.
You want a shot of rum?
Two rum shots.
But the Spanish kind though, because I guess that's not awful. Because the non-Spanish kind is disgusting. But like he says, there's a. Oh, we got a good one. Can you at least chill it so I don't fucking die?
He just called it two rum shots.
Three. We gotta get your woman involved. Now that I know she's safe. She's got a man. She's got a man that makes her safe.
No, he's talking about equality. Two rum shots.
What was this guy earlier? What was the fun party guy when I needed you, man?
Yeah, so I'm encouraging him. Because it was funny. But, you know, the show keeps going. Which part's this? Okay, this is an interaction with this lady who is very sweet. She's very sweetheart. But this is just what I have to deal with. This is why I actually wanted a couple shots, because I wanted to become dumber. Yeah, because I had to interact a lot with the crowd. I had to give them power because that's where all my laughs are coming from. But then you have to deal with, you know, drunk people. Check this out.
People and
that's not wrong.
What's that?
Not wrong. This is not wrong. You're drinking
I don't speak of your language with that.
You're drinking vodka.
No, I drank rum with that guy.
You're drinking vodka.
Right now I'm drinking vodka, yes. Because there's a little something I want to introduce you. It's called time. Time passes. Right? There was a moment earlier when I drank rum. Making your way in the world, and now time has passed. And now I'm drinking something else. And that was just the past. And now we're in the present. And soon it'll be the future. That's called a linear fucking. Alright. It's all good. The people don't get the time passes. That's not rum. Right now, it's not rum. But there was a moment.
Hey, I got your Red Bull here.
Are you trying to fuck me, bro?
Why?
For your rum.
Maricon.
No, I just don't understand. I don't get mad. Like, when I yell when I'm doing comedy, it's all just part of the equation. Like, I'm not angry. I'm just trying to like, it's like a rubber band. You go, it's a fucking equation. I normally don't explain this to people, but I have nothing to lose. All right, so anyway, I started listening to more hip-hop music.
So I'm trying to get there, but people don't understand passage of time and basic things like that. But that's fine. Having some more good times. Some of my shit is working. I'm just not showing that because this is not called Why Did They Laugh? It's called Why Didn't They Laugh? So, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know. I'm letting you guys witness an execution. I'm getting just crushed. But this part was pretty funny because I do the longer. How do I put this? Bullshit always loses. And people sometimes will say that to me where they're like, "Oh, just say this so you fit in," or like, just go with the flow with this one. You don't have to. And I'm like, no. I'm going to say what I perceive is real, because the more I do that, the more my life goes in a good direction. When I start changing what I believe or like not stating what I feel is obvious, then I end up in a very bad place. It's called cognitive dissonance. It's where you possess two contradictory thoughts in your mind. Like, let's say you are, I'll use an extreme. You're part of ISIS, but you're against beheadings. So when you're witnessing all this stuff, you now have cognitive dissonance because you see yourself as ISIS, but you also see yourself as someone who doesn't want to behead anyone. You can do that at a much smaller scale. That's an extreme. But, you know, it's cognitive dissonance starts happening when inside your soul and your mind is saying something is not adding up. So I try all the time to not have cognitive dissonance. When someone is doing something or saying something, even if I'm wrong, like later I realize I was wrong, at the time I believe I wasn't. Because if I pretend or if I fake, that cognitive dissonance builds up in me and then I become sad. And I don't want to be sad. Life is too short and life is way too good for that. So this next little part, I think this might be the last clip. I'm going to play you one more after this one. But what is happening here? Oh, this is when I just kind of unleash a little bit.
What's that?
The only thing that I was saying that you are the one that shed the most.
I did what the most?
Shed the most.
Shed?
Shed.
Shed. I'm not trying to be a dick. Like, what are you saying? Shed? Shared? Like, I shared the most. I shared the most. That's my job. I'm an emotional sharer. That's literally my job. I get on stage and I make my life, your life, and relatable, and then you laugh. That's literally my career. So I shed for a living. I get up here and I shed the fuck out of people. I say vulnerable things, I say aggressive things, I go back and forth. It's kind of like the pace when you bang. Like, you're not like, and you're not just like, It's back and forth. You know, it's like, and it's like, I'm scared too. Like, I know what I'm doing. Just let me check. Let me check. I check. Oh, yes. All right, so I got that album. It was Rihanna.
Okay, so this is when it gets... All right, so... Of course, I take it political. I'm so fucking over the crowd at this point. Not over them. Half of them I love. Like, I actually kept hanging with them after the show. We all just hit a bar, like, right next door. It was awesome. I fell in a sinkhole, but that's okay. But I literally just started talking about shit. I just grabbed someone's phone and just started playing a funny clip I saw on YouTube in the mic. Wasn't this?
Terrible. Or no, you might have to see it, though.
Just Google gay Trump,
yeah. They did word for word one of his speeches, except he's a flaming homosexual. You gotta hear this shit. Listen to this. Oh shit. Oh, you gotta pass word fuck. I don't know how to use Android, I'm rich.
Alright, so I start playing. I don't know if I can play it on this podcast because it's someone else's clip, but I just play gay Trump. And people are just kind of laughing, not really. But I was very comfortable. So I got into the politics. And by the way, this is in the Deep South. This takes a little bit of balls. But as you can see, everything ends up fine if you're not a fucking liar.
Yeah, I just said not to vote for Trump, though.
Well, that's my personal beliefs. If someone else has a different perspective, I'm not going to judge them for it. You can be like, fuck you, I got my beliefs, fuck you. Let's be friends. And that's what we need in this country. That's how we heal. You can believe whatever the fuck you want. Because being against Trump doesn't mean you're pro-Hillary. It just means you're not for Trump. Like, everyone has to start thinking a little more fucking on the spectrum. You know what I mean? Everyone lumps in everything. I'm like, I'm against Trump. Oh, Hillary's a fucking liar. I'm like... Being against Trump is not an endorsement for Hillary. I'm against the whole goddamn deal because I don't believe in incarcerating people for weed. Like, I'm on a very basic kind of level of a lot of policies, but that doesn't mean I want to elect a fucking orange reality star that's going to piss off everyone that isn't that exact demographic. Is that your guy? Is that your guy over there?
My brother.
How's your brother? Classic Trump response.
That's about as good as it's going to get is that last clap, because there was several like very intense Trump supporters and I was telling them, I'm like, listen, we can still be friends. I'm not one of those dudes that you think I am by mocking this guy. I don't care about the supporter. Like, I probably believe in 50 things that are wrong right now. I have no idea. And who knows who's right or wrong. I'm personally very against Donald Trump personally, but I'm not against Trump supporters. And I think once you convey that, it really relaxes people and allows them to actually change their mind if they want to. You know, I'm running for president. And I remember some of my friends are like, you're taking votes away from Hillary, and then we'll get Caligula. I'm like, listen, any of my fans or people that want to vote for me, there's a good chance they were going to vote for Trump just to vote against the system. I'm like, it's not hurting anything. And I understand those people. I completely do. I don't like Hillary Clinton. I think that I don't even want to go down this because people get so angry. But did you see that turn, though, where they weren't angry? As long as you're not attacking them, they don't care. And then once you're not attacking the individual and you're attacking a concept, at that point, you can actually have a discussion of policies. You can have a discussion of, you know, whether or not someone's fit for a job. But as soon as you start talking about how all Trump supporters are racist and bigoted and about, I mean, Hillary Clinton was very against gay marriage in the 90s, guys. Like, people grow and change, and no one is going to subscribe to every policy that someone is. It's like cable packages. No one wants the Oxygen Channel. But that's going to do it this week. I'm in Oklahoma right now. I got to go do a college. And this week I'm doing Buffalo at Helium. So come out, tweet me or email me, whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. On Friday, I will do another South Park episode. And this dude, Mike D, emailed me as a comic. And I'm going to analyze his joke. He's funny. I'm going to start doing that now because I'm sick of my own voice. So if you guys want me to look at your jokes and kind of just not be judgy, I'm not charging you. I'm not a comedy class asshole. There's no answer in comedy. But I'll tell you something there is, that there should be, is community. And one thing I do miss, I will never go back to a major city. Maybe if I had a job, like a high-paying job. But like, I love Saranac Lake. My wife is happy. My child is safe. I'm with my brother. It's fucking heaven, right? But one thing I do miss, of course, is the comedy community, to be able to spitball jokes with other people. And I am in a pretty good position to help spitball with people because you guys help me. There's a lot of you people have fucking emailed me or tweeted me or Facebooked me tags to jokes of mine that I'm currently using. I'm not the funniest guy in the room. I'm just extremely talented at doing it live. And I'm very thoughtful with a buffoonish demeanor, which creates laughter. I am a great laugh robot. And thank you all for donating to our cause. Our cause is beers. Hugepianist.com. You can buy me and my brother beers, either one beer, 12 beers, a case of beers. It helps when we don't have sponsors and we're, you know, trying to not be on the road all the time. And we do actually buy beers with it for our other podcast. It's now the 20th highest podcast in comedy right now. I knew this was going to happen. Why Didn't They Laugh still has a little bit more subscribers, but the growth of Case Closed is hilarious because it's for anybody. Case Closed, beers open. Why Didn't They Laugh is for people obsessed with human nature, public speech, the mechanisms of jokes, who just want to hear about my life, who want to like hear about books. It's not the broadest audience, but they're loyal as fuck. Like, when you guys come to shows, some of you guys come to like all my shows. It's insane. And you're like, The fans I have for this podcast, I would be friends with. And there's a lot of things I've done that isn't the case. Like, I've done things that I won't throw under the bus, but I'll be out, and the fans of it are terrible. But Why Didn't They Laugh fans are, it's almost like a prerequisite to want to know more and to want to not hurt people and to want to be better. And so, yeah, that's where we're at. So if you want to throw me some bucks or buy some beer coasters, I've been making beer coasters because I do tree work with my brother and we cut down trees and then I find some really good wood and I make Case Closed Beers Open beer coasters. You can get those at hugepianist.com. I will also be at Levity Live in a couple weeks and Brea. I think November 10th to the 14th, I'm at Levity Live in New York and then Brea, the Improv in Southern California, the 17th through the 20th. I'm bringing my wife and baby. That's going to be great. I always bring her when it's like a vacation place, like someplace nice. Like if I do Hawaii, she's coming. If I'm doing, you know, Fort Worth, I mean, it's a beautiful city, but, you know, I'm just going to go do it. Subscribe to the podcast. Comment if you can. I read all of them, and it's very supportive, and I like feedback. So comment on iTunes, because every comment you do is almost like a vote for people to listen to it, where people are like, oh, okay, I'm going to listen to that, because a lot of people like it. It's, you know, it's herd mentality, but we all feel it, and nothing wrong with it. So thank you again. I love you all. Stay hydrated and change those goddamn socks.
Hey, it's comedian Michael Loftus, and I'm here to tell you about my podcast, The Loftus Party, right here on the Sideshow Network. You know, one of the great things about being a comedian in America is you automatically get a podcast. And mine? I'm taking on politics, pop culture, and the world as I see it. You guys, it's an election year. There's plenty to laugh about. There's plenty to joke about. And if you want to go to another podcast where they're ripping up the Constitution and they're trampling, you're at the wrong one. Mine is a lot more fun. So here's what you can do. Join me for the Loftus Party. It's Michael Loftus every Monday. You download that, you subscribe, you give it a bunch of stars on iTunes, or you check us out on the sideshownetwork.tv/theLoftusParty. It's amazing. Loftus, party of one. Your table is now ready.